Welcome back to another episode of the Boat Babe Podcast with your favorite boat babe here, Mary Allison, coming at you from the Inarity Point boat launch in Florida. This is a totally impromptu place to record a podcast, so you're going to hear boat engines in the background. The wind might be annoying. I don't have my microphone. I'm just sitting here with my Chihuahua Rerun, drinking my coffee, just watching some boat fails. And it's an absolute total accident, but this morning I got the dog and was all excited to go eat breakfast at Hub Stacy's. But Hub Stacy's doesn't allow dogs now. So I'm waiting on my to-go food, sitting here at the boat launch. It's a gorgeous day, probably already about 85 or 87 degrees. And yeah, I decided this is a great place to record because I get to watch boat fails. I get to watch people try to unlock their cars and they've locked their keys in it. People try to put jet skis on their trailers, and I get to talk to you about boats. And today's episode, I'm going to talk about two main topics, which are going to be boat etiquette, number one. And the second is all the random shit the guys asked me while I was in the boatyard for about 6 months. But let's start with a little boat maintenance, boat life update. I just got back from Tortola, had an amazing trip down island. So I was there last July, and unfortunately, you know, now that after Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Sally, or not Sally, Hurricane Irma and then Hurricane Maria went through Tortola and then Puerto Rico, the island life in the Caribbean gets really slow a lot faster than it used to. So when we lived there in 2016, 2017, there wasn't really a hurricane season. Like, everybody just called it the high season and the low season, and everybody based that on tourism. It wasn't based on the storms anymore because a hurricane hadn't hit since the early 90s. And after Hurricane Irma, now it is just, you know, there's no reason to stay on the island because nobody can get insurance as inexpensive as they used to. You know, my boat actually had a hurricane mooring ball off of Hodges Creek over on the east end of Tortola back in 2012, which shows that clearly nobody was really worried about the hurricanes. And now everybody leaves late June, early July, and they don't come back until early November, when the hurricane season's over. So this time around, it was really nice to be there because there were so many boats, so many charters, tons of people there, a lot of Americans, which I was really surprised. All the expats still living there, schools in session, the kids having a lot of fun, you know, dinghy sailors out with the Royal BVI Yacht Club. Like, life was just really active, and it was a really good experience. We went out to Cooper Island. The first day we were there, it was a totally last minute decision, but our friends had chartered a Cobia with Island Time on Nanny Key, and we hopped on with them and went over to Cooper Island and relaxed and ate lunch, laid out in the sun, and it was nice because life slowed down a whole lot. It was really relaxing and quiet. Then we all went over to Willie T, and we went with our friends Meg, her husband and kids, and we also went with one of the bartenders from Willie T and his wife and kids. And so it was just fun to just pretend and play local again, you know. And went over to Willie T and jumped off the back of the Willie T. I don't know if y'all have done that before, but whenever you go to the BVI, you've got to go get a Willie T tattoo. If you drink, you've got to do a shot ski, and you've got to jump off the back of the Willie T and go swimming with all the other dinghies. And I don't know, it's just, it's paradise down there for sure. We went over to Norman, and the gift shop at Norman is amazing. So if you are used to the rising prices of everything in your country these days, somehow the BVI is actually behind on the price changes. And I kind of hope it stays that way because I was able to get t-shirts, dresses, just random stuff at all the gift shops for actually cheaper than if I bought a lot of things on Amazon these days, which was surprising. So I got a lot of really good stuff at Norman. and just enjoyed our time there. The next day, we went over to Josiah's. The beach is amazing for surfing, and that is the place. I think it's called BVI Surf School. Yeah. And so go over there if you want to learn how to surf. It's the best spot to go hang out. The waves are amazing. Tons of kids surfing. It's just like the best boho beach place to hang out ever over on Josiah's. And that's on the east end, kind of near Beef Island. And yeah, so now that I'm back, I have learned the art of rolling on non-skid using Kiwi Grip. And I absolutely fell in love with it. I did the cockpit, so I've got, you know, all Craft 2000, ice blue cockpit, all wood cap rail. I caulked it with black caulk just in the seams. I used white 4000 or 4200, I can't remember, for, you know, just around the paint line where it meets the teak. But I used black to do all like the little, you know, where the teak comes together just to seal it. And I've got to do a little bit more of that around some of the other areas that I missed, like around my like my canopy, the structure, whatever it's called, that holds up, you know, your eyes and glass and your enclosure. But so I used Kiwi Grip on my non-skid in there, and I did the tan color. It's kind of a tan yellow, and it looks really good up against that blue. So I ended up, it cured faster than on any of the videos on YouTube I had seen. So what I need to do is, when I do the rest of my non-skid, like around the boat, I'm going to make a YouTube video just kind of show you that it actually cures pretty fast, and it makes really sharp peaks quicker than you think. But I was able to let it settle just a little bit and then lightly use their open cell foam roller. And it actually turned out to be awesome. I really, really like how it turned out. So I'm excited. I've got to buff out some of my paint still that settled really bad, you know, in the shipyard with the dew. So it's got like this haze, but it can be buffed out. And then I'm going to roll the non-skid around the whole boat and continue working on the teak. And thankfully right now, because of the sun and the heat, my old varnish that I want to come off is coming off quickly on its own. So it's going to be really easy for me to sand all that off and kind of get rid of that so I can start over. And what I think I'm going to do, because I've been staring at my neighbor's boat for the last couple of months, he used the natural teak color of, oh shoot, now I'm going to forget the name of it, and I didn't have it written down. I've talked to y'all about it before, but it's the oil. It's like the oil varnish that's just, you just, you know, use teak cleaner, clean your varnish. I'm having a total, like, not eaten moment where I'm just living off coffee right now. So I'll remember it in just a second. But basically, it's just like a natural teak. It's a water-based product that you can just brush on, and it'll keep that natural teak color versus turning it that dark wood brown, which I actually love. But I'm going to just see what it looks like in contrast with my blue hull now. I think I'm going to like it. And if I don't like it, it's really easy to change. Cetol or Simcoe. I think it's Simcoe. Yeah, not Cetol. I'm getting the Cetol off right now, and I'm going to try a Simcoe again, which is what I started with years ago. But anyway, so let's talk a little bit about boat etiquette, especially since I'm sitting here watching people put their boats in and out at this little boat ramp, boat launch. The first thing is that I want to point out, and I've pointed this out before, is I feel like it's a really, really, really good idea to teach your wife, or have somebody teach your wife, and I'm literally just laying it out, husband and wife stuff, because that is what I see. Most likely, husbands or men drive the boats, and the women hop in the front seat of the truck, they back it down, get the boat in, and then you hear the husband yelling at her because she didn't do something right, when he's just sitting in there with absolutely no control, trying to tell a woman to back the boat in. It's just a disaster. My suggestion is always teach your wife how to drive the boat. You back the truck in and let her dock the boat and take care of it. But I'm also a captain, and that's like what I do. I would choose driving the boat over the truck any day. I also have this, I don't know, I don't enjoy driving the truck with the trailer. I would rather drive the boat. So having each person understand each role makes life so much easier, because your wife might really understand, or your girlfriend or your mom or your sister might actually be really good at driving a boat versus driving the truck, and you don't even realize it. And so you can take over your role as driving the truck, getting the trailer all set up. She's out there. She understands how to dock the boat, or help her dock the boat just for a minute. Or vice versa. She might really not like driving the boat, and she might be really, really good at driving the truck. I've got this little boat right here, this Yamaha. Hold on. Morning.
We're good. Sorry.
No, you're totally fine. You're good. Got a little bit of wind and current. I understand. This little Yamaha jet boat, you know, got a little close to my front end, but we're good. Just sitting here, you know, in the wind, drinking my coffee. But, yeah, so give your wife some credit. I promise that women know how to drive and maneuver boats really, really well. You'd be really surprised. For me, I mean, it became second nature before I was 10 years old. But, you know, the next thing that comes off the top of my head with boat etiquette, take your shoes off when you get on a boat. And honestly, the first thing that I think about with this topic is you're on vacation. The second you take your shoes off, it's as if you're on vacation. Leave your laptop at home, turn your phone on vibrate, or crank up the music. You're kind of free to just be you, feel the earth. I don't know, play in the sand, put your toes in the sand. Walk on the grass, walk on the dock barefoot. Who cares if you get a splinter? It's part of it. And so take your shoes off when you get on somebody's boat. And in the States, the only state that really is big on taking your shoes off before you go into a house is in Hawaii. And I wish that it was an overall kind of unwritten rule in the States. Take your shoes off before you go into somebody's house. Like, you could have been walking through a parking lot or gotten your gas and stepped in oil or gas, and then you're walking in somebody's house on their floor and their carpet, and it's just gross. I mean, you could have stepped in dog poop, like, on your way and not realized it, and you're just stomping it through their house. When you go on somebody's boat, take off your shoes. So on our boat, when you go downstairs, the wood on the floor, we've got parquet floor, has worn away on the surface, just like the sealant. You know, it's not necessarily a varnish, I guess, but it's some kind of sealer that's on the wood. It's washed away a whole lot, or because of, I haven't taken my shoes off when I was in the boatyard. I'd go downstairs, I'd go grab something, and I'd go back upstairs. And I'd go downstairs and grab something and go back upstairs. And it's definitely worn away. And so taking your shoes off before you go on somebody's boat actually prevents a lot of just the damage to, even if it's just their fiberglass, the paint, you know, if their boat's, you know, an older boat like mine. You're definitely helping maintain the integrity of the boat versus just leaving your mark of wear and tear that come with wearing shoes. I'm going to walk around my helm and make sure my chihuahua is fine. Rerun, are you good? Yep, you're hanging out in the shade. Okay, good. But, yeah. So those are the two main things that I've always thought about when it comes to etiquette on a boat. You know, when it comes to sunscreen, be aware that if you have spray sunscreen and you're just going to spray it all over yourself, look at the actual spray, because probably only 20% actually goes on your body and the rest of it goes on to the paint. And it depends on the kind of paint or gel coat, but it'll actually just start to eat away at any of the wax or the boat clear coat that's on the paint. It just wraps itself onto everything, and it's disgusting, and then it becomes super slippery. So when you go on other people's boats, avoid the spray sunscreen. Lather yourself up with your actual sunscreen versus the spray stuff, because it's going to get everywhere. And, you know, one thing for the ladies, because I am one, if you have a fresh spray tan and you go on somebody's boat and you're sitting on the edge, most likely your spray tan is going to adhere to the boat. I've had that happen before, and I couldn't figure out what it was until I realized I had given myself a spray tan. And this was even after I showered. But a lot of times you put on yourself tanner, and what you see first is the bronzer that adheres to your skin to make yourself look tan, you know, up front first. Then your tan starts to develop over 24 hours as the DHA, which is in, you know, a spray tan, starts to change your skin color. So make sure you get all the bronzer off of your skin before you go lay out on somebody's boat, or definitely just sit on a towel, because you're definitely going to change the color of the area that you sit on if you're sitting on the fiberglass. Another boating etiquette, I guess, tip or suggestion, and it's funny because I'm actually hearing this guy, he's yelling something about boating etiquette over there actually right now, but I have no clue what he's talking about, and I don't know if he's being rude or sarcastic, but it looks like his little boat's doing fine, but I feel like he's being a little passive aggressive. Boating, when you're out on the water, I hope that you're in an area where there's no frustration, and that means when you pass a boat, wave. Like, make it a point to wave. Even, okay, if you do the side wave where you just put your hand down, great. You know what? You get a pass, A for effort. Because so often, you know, when you're driving a car, you just ignore the person next to you. You don't even acknowledge them. You're too busy. You're on your phone or something like that. But when you're on the water, take time to actually acknowledge people. And even if somebody doesn't acknowledge you, make it a huge point to wave at them. Give them a huge smile, because it's something that I try to do, and it really, really does make people's day. When I'm out there, I want other people to be happy. I want everybody to be in a good mood. But it's so easy to kind of have a grudge when you're just frustrated with the wake. There's so many people out there. You're trying to manage the people on your boat. You've got to remember and take a step back. First of all, you're on a boat. We're out on the water together, having a good time. Yeah, there's going to be people blasting their rap music and having no care that their wake is about to wake the crap out of you and your family of four kids. But just wave anyway, even if they ignore you. Put good vibes out and you'll get good vibes back. And the last little tidbit of advice and suggestion is, make sure all the trash that you have in your boat is secured in a little trash bag, trash can, under the seat, down somewhere out of the way. Because what I'm noticing is everybody seems to be going to all these awesome beach bars, and, you know, just everyone has plastic everywhere, basically. And I mean, we all know this because the straw situation, which, you know, you can have like an issue with the straws, or you think it's ridiculous that sea turtles and stuff and the straws go together now. But one little bit of plastic that you can put in a bag and actually throw away is one piece of plastic less in the water. I see so many times where people just put their drinks down and then they floor it and all the trash flies out the back of their boat. And it is a bummer because, yeah, you might see it sink to the bottom, but eventually, because it's not necessarily like the old beer cans that everybody used to have way back in the day that just eventually rust at the bottom, or beer bottles that are eventually turn into sea glass, everything seems to be plastic and it's all washing up on everybody's beaches, even just in small areas. And it's annoying. Don't be that person that everybody looks at like, wow, thanks for being so careless. Now your trash is like going to end up, you know, where it shouldn't. So definitely take care of your trash. So the wind is picking up. I really hope y'all are able to hear me. I'm not blocked in any way by the wind. I'm kind of surprised that so many boats are actually going back on the trailer right now, because it's 11:20 in the morning and the weather is perfect. It's probably heating up to closer to like 89, 90 degrees. I mean, it really couldn't get any better than this. This would be the time of the day during our season where I would want to be in the water, but maybe everybody just wanted to go fishing and they're done. But okay, so some questions that I got asked in the boatyard, and surprise, surprise, what do you think the most popular question was? Are you single? I think it's kind of funny because in our area, you really only get two types of guys. You get guys that are super husbands, super married, you know, handful of kids, blue collar, working for the dollar, drive their, you know, big badass truck. I love those guys. They're great. They're kind of like the heart and soul of the South. So those aren't the guys that I'm talking about. On the other end of the spectrum, you get the guys that are single. They have 2 to 3 baby mamas. They're doing their trade as whatever they do on boats, mechanic, maintenance, engine work, whatever. And their first question without a thought in their mind is, are you single? And I totally understand it. You know, I don't ever see a lot of girls doing the stuff that I do on boats, and doing what you love, working on boats primarily, obviously, is what I'm talking about, and doing that with a partner is one of the most satisfying goals, feelings you can have. And so I do understand why that was the main question that I got from a lot of people. I was told that I have pictures that guys would take of me working on the boat, doing the fiberglass. I get it. I'm not a feminist in any sort of way. I do believe men and women are different, and I'm not surprised. Sure, take some pictures of me working on the boat. You're probably not going to have any other pictures of girls doing what I'm doing. So I don't think of it as that big of a deal. Okay, I got my to-go food. You'll hear my engine and the water. So I'm going to keep this short and sweet, but let's think. Okay, another question people would ask. Did you just want like to learn something new and start a new hobby? Because they would see us, well, I say us, me, completely refitting the boat, spraying the paint, grinding, sanding, fiberglass, and they'd look at me like, why don't you just hire somebody to do this? This is insane. But I wanted to do it myself. I wanted to learn how to do all these, you know, I wanted to learn the maintenance. This is a bucket list thing for me. And so y'all have heard in the other episodes all about me and why I love all the boat work. But yes, that was another question. Off the top of my head right now, I can't think of any other questions, but all I know is I just passed the no wake sign. It's a gorgeous day. So I'm going to go on plane and head back to Pirates Cove. And I hope you'll have an amazing rest of your day. And I can't wait to see you out on the water. And if you see me, please remember to wave and I'll give you a big smile and I'll blow you a kiss. I love you so much. Have an awesome day. Bye.